Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're in the studio with Grant and Jessica and Miss Tara, myself, Sandy. We are in James 3:13-18, and it's about wisdom, and we all need that. But boy, there's a difference between heavenly wisdom and earthly wisdom.
Boy, there is, isn't there? I love the book of James. The book of James, you've heard me say it almost every week, just as we have done this series, it convicts. I don't think I have looked at it in the last year as we went through this series in different places and then now at the radio that it seems profound to me even in the moment as I'm reading it. And I was laughing as I was going over stuff again this morning. It was like, God, how many times can I underline this? and so to have true wisdom and not to be fooled into thinking that we are wise, and to allow that it's God's wisdom and not our own. It's just such a beautiful thing. And I don't even know, I was thinking about it, if I could even say I'm wise. And even in wisdom, and that we're going to find has humility in it. And so I think it's one of those things that people will be able to see the evidence of it, but we're going to know the foolishness of our own heart, and it's going to be hard for us to see the wisdom in us, you know, that others might be able. And then I was thinking, oh my goodness, and then the false wisdom and how it's evident to those around us what they can see in me, that still God is in the process of sanctifying or making holy, that hasn't yet gotten there, and having him do that work. And so today, that's essentially what we're going to look at, is what's the difference between God's wisdom and man's wisdom. And James does a pretty good job in being very clear and listing out the differences. And so we're going to look at that. We're going to find that we're going to have a challenge to our behavior. We're going to have a challenge to making sure that it's the fruit that's born of the tree of life through Jesus, and making sure that it's not stuff that's done out of selfish ambition so we can appear wise, but it's done for the wrong motives, then that's not wisdom. And so I'm excited. So we're going to have Grant read for us, and it's in James 3:13-18.
Okay. Who is wise and has understanding among you? He should show his works by good conduct with wisdom's gentleness. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't brag and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where envy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every kind of evil. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without favoritism and hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace.
That's so good. Okay, so let's think back. Let's just consider school. When you were in school, what was your favorite subject? What was your best subject?
I really liked math.
Okay.
Yeah, math was a really fun one for me, too. That and, surprisingly enough, my computer science class.
I'd say English.
I'm trying to think. I think I just love school. I don't know that I had like a favorite one way or the other. But once I hit college algebra, I would have said definitely an English or a reading or yeah, literature over too. Math at that point. But I loved learning.
At this point too.
Yeah. So what do you think made you excel at that particular class?
Well, yeah, I liked both math and science because I think that they were very logical and that they rang true with what I could see in the world. Mm-hmm. And so
that's good.
So, yeah, that worked for me.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed those classes just because they were very problem-solving and self-driven. So it was like, especially like with the computer science class, you had some kind of obstacle you had to overcome, some kind of thing you had to create, and you had to figure out how to do it. And then once you thought you figured out a way, then you realized your way was wrong and had to figure out how to actually do it.
Okay.
That's good. I just like to read, so I think that literature and the English. And when I taught sixth grade, I had to teach English. So I found out a lot more about English when I taught than when I was in school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but in all of your explanations, if we got to the heart of it, it was because of an acquiring of a knowledge.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, think on your worst subject.
Math.
I don't know. I liked school, so there weren't a lot that I was really dreading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hated algebra.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine's probably really similar to that. I just liked school, but if I had to pick a worst, maybe history.
Mm. Okay. I like history, yeah.
Sorry, I just got choked. With my math, what I found is that I struggled with it because I didn't understand how, I didn't understand the knowledge for it. And as it was being taught to me, the knowledge wasn't connecting in a way that I could understand it, and that caused me to not like it. Mm-hmm. Whereas I am one of those people that if I can understand the knowledge behind it, the reasoning behind it, if I can see a reasonable, if it's to me reasonable, then I'm like so drawn to it. So once I reached that college level algebra, I had a harder time being reasonable. Mm-hmm. Like it just wasn't reasonable for me, and so I found that I struggled. Mm-hmm. And I bring this up because what we're going to find is there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. So based on your own summations, because all three of you guys are wise people and knowledgeable people in my life, what would you say the difference is?
I've heard the saying that knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, but wisdom is not putting it in fruit salad.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that lines up exactly with how I would describe it. It's like knowledge is, it's a database of information, kind of.
It's like head knowledge.
Yeah, whereas in wisdom is, it's like applying morality to knowledge. It's like knowing how to apply it and how to apply it correctly and when to apply it.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly. Within the police department, they would say knowledge is knowing how to use a gun. Wisdom is knowing when to. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's hiking on an adventure, knowledge is knowing when you see quicksand or poison oak. Wisdom is walking around it.
And it goes back to our last time with the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Back to wisdom and knowledge, or what you want to do, but should you?
Right, exactly. So what we're going to do is we're going to just look at how these apply into our world and what we're learning. So let's look at verse 13. In verse 13, it starts off, it says, who's the wisest person you know or have known? So just think real quick and pull out one. I'll give one to give as an example. First person I wrote down, just because it's probably the more recent one that I've used a lot in the last few years, is J. O. Terry. He is a retired missionary. He was on the mission field in the Philippines for his whole life. And he, incredible knowledge. Oh my goodness, the knowledge base, the facts that he has. But the wisdom that would ooze from him, when I ask him a question, I might ask him a simple question, but he might write me 3 pages of life experience that shows it being applied. And the crazy thing is, on sometimes when he would give me his responses, he would actually give me a life experience that would show opposite responses. Mm-hmm. And I thought, now isn't that wisdom? Mm-hmm. Because in one circumstance, he had to go this way. In another circumstance, he had to go this way. It actually changed with the knowledge based on the people. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, really, that's wisdom. And so I wrote a whole list of people, but one, and in that in particular, that one blew my mind. And because as I was thinking about, I'm like, one of the things I'm trying to think through as we're preparing to train the RAs for this year, one of the things in their leadership papers that I noticed is that a lot of them would say, and it's good knowledge because they need this, based on the passage that says, you know, take care of today because tomorrow has enough worry for itself. And so when they were writing their leadership papers based on the book that we had given them, most of them had written that they preferred the lesson that talked about focusing on now and not focus on tomorrow. But at the same time, as a leader, we have to teach them, those without vision, plans will fail. And so helping them to see that that knowledge is good, but it has to be applied at the right time, that wisdom is applying it in the right moment.
Yeah, I remember as an RA, one of the questions that they asked was, how would you prioritize these events? And one of the events was your schoolwork. And I remember prioritizing it pretty low because the other things were more pressing and urgent. And I remember them telling me that, no, your school is also important. And so, yes, sometimes it'll have to take a back burner. But that's why you're in school, is to learn and to be in there. So, so balancing, spending time with people, and learning when to say no to things that are apparently urgent, but maybe not necessarily the end of the world.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So who are your people? Your wise people?
Well, I was just thinking when you were talking about the man you were just talking about, I was thinking about Pauline and Bill that were missionaries in Africa for 25 years, and her wisdom, it just, when she would talk to us and tell us, she was teaching us how to story the Bible. Mm. And the wisdom she had from dealing with the people that did not know the Bible, and that's why she had to story it. It was just so wise of how she did it and approached them.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Good. Grant, did you have somebody?
It's funny just because the first thing I thought of was not actually a real person, and it, just because I recently read this book, and so it was right on my mind, but there was a character in the book that I specifically remember thinking, like, every time that character spoke, and like her name was Scarlett in the book, it was like, she was just an extremely wise person, and it was like, every time she spoke, it was, you know, very carefully thought out, and like, just really, it seemed like she always like understood the situation and how to like, how to handle it without letting your emotions get in the way and anything like that. And I just remember, because I just read the book, I remember thinking like, wow, I really want to be like that. I want to be able to like, at all times, just to be able to like access this wisdom from God that's just like, wow, like I know how God would want me to respond in this situation always, you know?
That's beautiful. Who's the author?
Brian Davis.
And which book?
I'm trying to remember the name of that specific book, but it was in the Time Echoes trilogy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So think on Brian Davis. Mm-hmm. Okay. He is the author of that character. So in order for him to communicate with a paper for you to read a truth about wisdom in such a way that you're like, wait, I want that. Mm-hmm. That's wisdom, mm-hmm. and that he's teaching through the knowledge of a fictional novel to get you to apply what you're learning.
Which I honestly think is really cool and amazing, because also that's not the first character in one of his books that's made me be like, oh, wow, like I want to be a better person because of that character.
Right. And you want to apply the truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that is the power of story, which is kind of fun because I just want to affirm Grant, because Grant knows he's called to tell story. He just doesn't know what that looks like. But thinking through that we can gain wisdom where we're applying, even from a fictional novel.
Mm-hmm. It's one thing that I just love about fiction is that it helps me to understand concepts and bigger pictures, where otherwise I don't take the time to sit back and think about those things. And I love fiction for that. It's just, okay, I understand now, like, I can apply this and this and this and this just by looking at the other person's life, even though it's fictitious. And I love that.
I do too. And what I love is I just had different moments of conversations with you as you have read novels and the time we've had together, and you sharing how it's changed you, where you took that knowledge and made it wisdom and you were applying it. And so that's a good thing for us to bring out because it's not necessarily always going to be
the word.
Well, a physical person.
Right.
That I think sometimes we get the mind that it has to be someone with skin on. So we think of a mentor or somebody who disciples us. And it's fresh on my heart as I have many of my students that have left Grace and they're not here and they're not going to have us as their mentors anymore. But then also, as well as Grant is going off to college and he'll be far away, the people that have been the disciple makers and the mentors may physically not be there, but you can find them in other means. And as Jess goes off to Ireland, God will provide them in other ways until you get that person with skin on. It's just making sure you go and get it.
Mm-hmm. That's you have to seek it, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Being willing to be changed by it. And that's what we're going to find out in today's passage, is how we're willing to let it change us. Just did you have the, you just, what do you want to go? Because you didn't say a person.
I have so many people. So too many. Picking okay. one is too hard.
All right, that's good. Okay, so when we're looking at this, when we think on wisdom, let's look at this passage, and we only have, what, a little less than 2 minutes, so we'll come back on this next time. But I want us to see what James gives as what is wisdom and what isn't, and we'll take a more in-depth next time, but let's just start pulling some out. So what does wisdom look like based on James 13 through 18 in chapter 3?
Are we doing worldly or...
Wisdom, heavenly.
Wisdom, mm-hmm. Okay, heavenly.
Yeah.
I mean, it talks about living an honorable life and doing good works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. That's good. What else?
It's gentle.
Mm-hmm. Merciful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What else?
Loves peace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Peacemaker, yeah. Mm-hmm. Did it say submission?
Yeah, the willing to yield to others, which okay. I also think of as humility, of mm-hmm. yeah. that I don't have to always be right.
Yeah, because right? we're not.
Right.
Yep.
And it says, without favoritism and hypocrisy.
Okay, that's good. Those are good. All right, let's look at the ones that are not. They're from false wisdom.
You know, the one that jumped out at me, because it said it twice, and there was selfish ambition.
Okay. Mm. It's crazy.
Envy.
Disorder.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Yeah. Jealousy.
Wrong thinking. Mm. Bad thoughts. Mm-hmm. That's not wisdom. The bitter jealousy. It's crazy how often I have to deal with that. Evil. It flat out says evil. Demonic. It depends on what your translation, but that one's like, wow, that's intense.
Well, and I feel like Satan uses quote-unquote wisdom so often to just twist the truth just enough so that people think that they're wise,
yeah,
and then they're actually deceived.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Deception, yep.
It's crazy. So we're looking at these two lists. We're going to come back next time, and we want you to come back and join us. We are looking at what is genuine wisdom, and the key thing we're wanting us to grasp is that wisdom is taking knowledge that is applied and walking in that knowledge so that it is applied. And then not just applied, it would be an application that gives God glory. It's not about our glory. It's not about somebody else's glory. It's about the glory of the Lord. And so that's where true wisdom comes from. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. We would love to hear from you. You can contact us at tararye.com, cultivatinghearts.org, or opendoormission.org. God bless.